my neighbor. Neighbor and friend.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. More importantly, welcome to Hosteling International. You are in New York City. You are on the Upper West Side. This is much better than Florida. Have any of you been to Florida? I'm not knocking the U.S. You've been to Florida. Are you in Florida now? No, and it's nicer there, right? It's warmer there. There's like, you can still go swimming, yet you chose to be in the nice, delightful fall weather and watch this gentleman skateboard. You've made the right decision. I was in Florida a few weeks ago, and it's the first place I've ever been where the music of Kid Rock made perfect sense. He's not even from Florida. He's from the suburbs of Detroit. How are you an... He almost made the skateboarding trick, sir. How are you a gangster and a hick at the same time? Only Kid Rock knows, yet he's from Detroitish Florida. Don't go to Florida. Welcome to New York, everybody. We've been in New York for a while now. We're part of the CMJ Music Festival. And it's a music festival. I used to be in bands and all that good stuff. By good stuff, I mean hang out with really smelly men. That's a fun thing to do. I'm not knocking that. It's a rite of passage for most people. Kid Rock had that exact same rite of passage. Anyways, I used to play in bands and all that good stuff, and I was thinking, have I ever played a show outdoors before? Because we are actually recording this outdoors in a very beautiful like area, and this is weird. We did play one outdoor show. We played an outdoor show for people of all ages. It was in a park. In Oak Park, Illinois, it's where Ernest Hemingway is from. It's directly west of Chicago. A very beautiful neighborhood, tree-lined streets everywhere. The kind of neighborhood where they have, like, two Chipotles, like, very, very nice. And it was a free show, so we had a cast of characters, every race, every sex, every religion, every creed. The band Creed was there. It was fantastic. About 20 minutes into our set, there's a streaker. There's a 16-year-old streaker. A male 16-year-old streaker, which raises many points considering it's highly illegal to tackle a nude 16-year-old in any other circumstance, but in this one it makes perfect sense. And I'm not saying I want that to happen tonight. It's just that's what I've had in my head for the last 10 years when everyone says, let's do an outdoor show. No. You might have a 16-year-old run across you and freak you out. I don't think that's going to happen tonight. Instead, I'm going to peer into all of the windows around me. I'm currently waving to a man. He gave me a peace sign. That is the international sign of he's a cool dude. How you doing, buddy? He just brought his friend out. He's waving and he's giving a thumbs up. He's on the third floor. Open the window. What's your name, buddy? Chris, where are you from, Chris? Why am I shouting? Sir, aren't you? Welcome to America, sir.
He doesn't know how to use
this is what we do. We just scream. We don't need to scream. This is what we do. Did you hear the intro? It's just Bill O'Reilly losing his mind. Thank you so much for coming, sir. I appreciate it. And I will heed your advice. I will stop screaming at Chris. Oh, Chris brought all of his friends out. How are you doing?
There's a crowd up there.
There's a crowd up there. How are you guys doing?
You know you can come down.
You can come down. It's cool. Keep it going. Okay, 5 minutes. You got it, guys. We're going to be doing a talk show. If any of you have seen a talk show, wow, good for you. If this is your first time, we're going to have three of my favorite New York people. We have Ben Kissel, we have Ryan Connor, and if her baby is not teething, we have Larkin Grimm. She just gave birth. She's a new mother. So we might have a certain music guest. If not, that guy over there is going to play bongos. So please put your hands together for everybody tonight. We're going to have a wonderful time, and I think the bar is still open, which is possibly the best thing to do. Nathan, please play some music on an iPod. Okay, so we usually have a band on stage playing with us. The stage isn't that big, so instead I've decided to play Paul McCartney's 1980s album, McCartney 2. Has anyone in this area heard of McCartney 2? Exactly. It's amazing. It sounds nothing like Wings. I'm not knocking Wings. You could be a big Paul McCartney Wings fan. I highly doubt you are. But I'm just saying, check out McCartney 2. That's my recommendation
for
the day. I
feel like it's Coke 2.
Okay.
It's a bad mistake that's going to be shoved
when
down.
You said that, I thought of something else. Moving on. Esmeralda's the co-host. We do news stories because that's what talk shows do. What's our first news story?
Is anyone from Venezuela? Anybody? No? Okay, good. Good.
Wait, why good?
Because they have mimes in the streets.
You're not a fan of mimes?
There's mimes directing traffic in Venezuela.
Are they doing it for free or are they getting paid?
I'm assuming they're getting paid. Why? Well, actually,
they are mimes.
That's true. Yeah. That's all they can do, be out on the streets. But what they do is there's 120 mimes and they're just doing, miming things to the drivers and the, like, say someone runs across at the red light.
It's like improv everywhere.
They do something like, no, don't do that. And their mimes speak.
Are there mime theaters?
Probably. There's mime theaters everywhere.
Name one mime theater.
It's on the corner over here.
On the corner over here. On the corner of 103rd and Amsterdam, there's a mime theater.
There's a mime theater. They just pop up. Wherever a mime is, it's a theater.
I don't think that's a very good plan for mimes to be directing traffic in Venezuela.
I just wonder. I'm waiting for the news of 120 mimes dead in Venezuela.
From the favelas.
Because people are going to kill them.
I don't know what I'm saying.
No one likes mimes.
Yeah, I understand. Next story.
Miming at them. All right, so Occupy Wall Street. Did anybody go down there?
Occupy! See, that's why I yelled, sir, because when I yell, you get a response. That's what happens.
Anyway,
the
neighbors in that area, the 1%.
Yes, the 1%.
That does live there. They're accusing the protesters of pooping everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there's a classic book entitled Everybody Poops, and that's true unless there's a horrible medical condition.
That's what Occupy Wall Street is all about.
And then it's everybody colostomy bag. And that's just sad, and there's a lot of cleanup.
Yeah, that's just that's a serious book.
They're both serious books. Everybody Poops, and that's why we're A-okay.
No, Everybody Poops
that's
is a
good
is
message.
A lighthearted tale.
I think there's an elephant on the cover of that
there is,
piece of
poop,
literature.
With poop coming out.
It's cute poop.
No, but they're complaining. People are pooping on their doorsteps, but they don't want to give them toilets.
Who's them?
The everybody.
But who's the they in the them sentence? You said they don't want to give them toilets.
Oh well, I guess the city.
Yeah.
Everybody, the people who have those toilets.
What is there like a collection going for a series of porta potties down on Wall
Street?
No,
they got a lot of money. No one wants to give it to them.
No, I understand that.
That's
everything. Oh, you've just explained all of politics.
Done.
Thank you so much. That's a simple solution.
What could we come up with? I like the idea. Like the idea in the article is just give them baggies.
No.
cute. Little poop baggie.
How is a little poop baggie cute? I don't think you understand the definition of the word cute.
Yeah, but it's in a baggie.
Is anything in a baggie cute to you?
Yeah.
You poop. Have a different lifestyle than me, ma'am. We're alluding to
poop
things.
Poop in
everybody.
A baggie.
There you go. Next story.
I'm assuming no one here has an iPhone 17 or whatever. What number are they on
iPhone
right now?
4, is it 4S?
Is it 4? That
Nathan,
is 5.
What is it? No, it's 4C.
Whatever. They got the fancy iPhone's got that Siri thing on it, right?
Yeah, it's got Siri. Siri is the voice-activated thing. Not the voice-activated thing. You tell it what to do, and then it talks back to you.
Well, so there was a study done, like, why is it female? Although in the UK and France, it's a male voice.
Really?
But I bet you it's like a smooth-talking Sean Connery voice.
Is Sean Connery smooth talking?
Yeah.
Really?
But imagine if we used your voice for that.
It would be very abrasive and no one would want it.
Exactly.
Welcome to the talk show, everybody.
They got to use a female voice. But they had all these studies done. Like one is babies in a mother's womb doesn't respond to a father's voice, only to the mother's voice.
Really?
Because our voices are better.
I agree that women's voices are better. Does it respond to women's voices that aren't the mother? Like, will it respond to an aunt or a family friend or
probably,
just some random lady?
Probably, because it's a female. They don't know.
What if you have a really high-pitched male voice?
Then they probably would respond to it.
Are babies sexist?
And you're just tricking the baby.
I think babies are sexist. I don't think...
Sexist baby.
Or is it fetuses?
Feti.
Feti need to be more open to both voices.
Which ones are the ones that kick?
Both kick within a...
The ones that start kicking.
That's both.
Because then they give a response.
I don't think once you're born you stop kicking.
Okay.
There's a whole sport based around that idea. Lacrosse.
Yeah. Polo.
That was stupid.
Yeah.
I like that.
So I wanted to, since this is our last show at
this
the hostel.
This is our last show at the hostel. We've
I
been
wanted
here.
To do a bit of a recap. Because I, you know, the whole, not theme, but I've talked about how I... didn't like New York.
You did not like New York 5 years ago.
I didn't. But I'm coming around, and it's wonderful, and it's all because of this hostel.
Why are you coming around? What about your stay has made it not an awful city anymore?
Well, I want to give you the highlights.
You don't want to give me the highlights?
No, I do.
These
aren't really reasons why I want to come back, but they made me, oh, New York, you're a character on your own.
Okay.
I was...
You sound like you just saw an improv show.
I did. My whole life's an improv.
Oh,
I saw the mime theater down the street. So. No, I was at Shake Shack.
Shake Shack.
Delicious burgers, by the way. I stood in that line.
Okay, was it? How long
it was
the line?
I don't know. 20 minutes?
That's a pretty decent line for
Across
a burger.
The street, someone was giving tacos, and they're like, 20 minutes. I'm like, I was like, no! You tacos, 20 minutes, that's ridiculous. And then I go wait in a line for a burger for 20 minutes.
All right.
I didn't get, but anyway. So I get my food, and I'm sitting at the table, and there's tables outside. And a man comes down, and he sits, and he has his food, and he's well-dressed, and he looks affluent.
Okay.
And he just...
He's part of the 1%, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think he is. So he was sitting there, and then I just see him go... He puts his head down and just goes... And just pukes on the floor.
Really?
He pukes on the ground.
That is fascinating. And that made you love New York even more.
It made me go, oh, because no one acknowledged it. No one noticed. He got up, he cleaned himself off, and then he came back down and sat and just ate his food.
In the same, did he not?
He took a call on his iPhone about shares or something, and then he left. He finished his food, and then he left.
Wait, so he vomited in the exact same place where he was eating?
He didn't move. Yeah, he didn't move. I think it's just to keep up the fact that he had puked. And if he moves, that means, hey, you just puked, buddy.
No, that's not how that works at all. Once you've puked, you've puked.
Yeah, but I think he was playing it off.
I don't think he did at all.
No, the thing is, no one else made a face, no one else acknowledged, except me. I'm sitting there like, oh, God, he just puked. Don't look at it. Don't look at it.
Did you look at
it? I did after.
What did he eat the night before?
It was kind of like just a puddle of spit.
Oh, okay, that's nothing.
But still, I could hear, I heard it. Like,
and
it
now
gross.
All these nice people have heard it, too.
I know, yeah. Now
New York,
know.
Everybody. So that's reason one, you will definitely come
it's
back
endearing.
To New York City.
Also, my other favorite, we were walking down the street today.
Yeah.
And we're walking along, and I see there's something in the corner of my eye, and I turn, and it's a man urinating between two dumpsters.
It sure was.
Yeah, and then I looked at him straight in the eyes, too, and then I looked back quickly, and I just kept walking and pretending nothing happened.
So who taught who the lesson in that story?
I just shouldn't look at other people.
That is true.
That's what it is. Mind my own business.
That is very true.
That's what I learned.
Do we have a third reason for you love New Yorkers, is that it?
Just you only need two.
All of your reasons of liking this city are bodily fluid related. Okay, that's fair.
It's natural. It's nature.
Shake Shack and the word nature have never been in the same sentence before.
It is outside.
It is, the nice gardens of New York
in the park.
In Manhattan.
With all the dirty pigeons.
Yeah. Wow, you've really sold the city. Good job.
For people who love fluids, come to New York.
It's important. Most of our bodies are made of fluids.
No, I'm joking, though. It's a great town.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Our first guest of the evening is a fellow podcaster, but that's not why he's on the show. He's on the show because he's handsome and very tall, two things that definitely translate over radio. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Ben Kissel, everybody. Ben. How are you?
I'm good, man. I wanted you to be like, after you looked down and looked at the vomit, I just wanted there to be a little baby bird just so full. And it turns out he's just a humanitarian.
You know, the thing is, I didn't see if the birds got into it. I did see birds because my bag was in front of me. So thank God that bag, because I would have seen him just go blah. But
oh
I saw
goodness.
Birds walking towards it, and I just assumed they were eating it.
I'm sure they were, and that's why he's a giver.
Ben, have you ever donated your fluids to the species that have wings?
I have vomited many times. Unfortunately, unless there was an alligator in the toilet that I vomited in, I don't think I've fed any sort of wildlife. It's my bad. You know, every time, because of your story, I feel like a real schmuck.
Yeah.
And why do you feel like a schmuck because of her story?
Out of all the hidden vomits that I've done alone in the bathroom, in the shower, hey, guys, I'll be right back in 10 minutes. Next thing you know, you're coughing up yesterday's lunch, and then you're back to drinking, you know, because you don't want to look like a puss in front of your friends.
That
so you're
is
like,
true.
All right, I'll go vomit. No one's going to know it. Next time, I'm going to go outside, vomit in public, let those wild animals, the cats of the world, the rats of the world, and those beautiful, beautiful birds enjoy what I have already digested so then now they can digest it into themselves. It's the circle
you
of
should
vomit
get back.
Life.
Get
that
back.
Sounded like slam poetry.
It was.
Pay it forward
it
to
really
those
was.
Pigeons.
I don't think either of you know what paying it forward means at
no.
all.
You know what?
Do Brandon? We have to?
You don't even know what plumbing is if you're advocating using the street for things.
Well, I know what plumbing is, and that's why I'm sick and tired of clogging up these drains, you know, forcing a nice Italian fella to come out of the video game world that he lives in on a Saturday morning and fix my toilet after, you know, an entire night of, poorly eaten burritos.
Where's your favorite place to get a poorly eaten burrito?
Let's go some
local pits. Let's yelp this interview.
Yeah, I want a poorly eaten burrito.
You want a poorly eaten burrito? I mean, the thing is, I'm on a diet. I've lost 30 pounds.
Good for you.
Thank you, buddy.
What's your workout regimen?
I am trying to vomit in toilets after every meal.
Good.
And that's why I've made the decision to do that on the outside.
I call it the CW diet. No one's going to get that here. Sorry about that, guys.
What is the CW diet?
Oh, it's just a network where all the people look like they do that.
Oh,
like,
my
really
goodness.
Well. They're really good at that.
I'll tell you about the Gossip Girl. That's on that channel, right? I used to live in the East Village. I used to work in the East Village. I'm a dog nanny. I've taken care of dogs. I love my
puppies.
Wait,
you just called yourself a dog nanny?
That's my job, yeah.
I'm really?
Still, it pays very little of the bills.
No, I'm not even knocking your job.
Oh, no,
I'm just knocking the fact that you call yourself a dog nanny.
I mean, first of all, Esmeralda, allow me.
You're a dog sitter, man.
I am not
you
a dog
sitter. Dogs.
First of all, I don't like the term dog sitter because, if anything, I'm a dog cuddler. I love dogs, and it's a Russell Terrier Chihuahua, a Chihuahua, and a Maltese. And I'll tell you one thing, those dogs don't comfort themselves. They need me to say, hey, you know what? You're a good goddamn dog, and you go out there, and you shit in the streets, and you puke in the streets.
Do you know?
I mean, that's my message. Be more like a Russell Terrier Chihuahua every single day.
Be scared of everything ever?
Exactly.
That's not good advice.
No, you know, it's not the best advice, but...
Do you have a dog?
No, I take care of three, so I don't. I mean, that's my job.
So you love dogs for 8 hours of the day.
But I used to work, yes, for 8 hours a day, and I love them. I mean, now. I still love them. I mean, thinking about them makes me very, very tickled, I'll tell you. They're cute, cute little beasts.
You're but like a mommy.
I am like a mommy. Hello, hello. I hope that's not a comment about my bosoms. Once again, I am losing weight. I am working
How
on
How tall
it.
Are you, 6'4"?
6'7".
Holy God.
It's are a goddamn nightmare.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But I was.
Wait. How much you weigh?
261.5 pounds, according to this morning scale.
Okay, when you step on a Wii, is your little character, does he have a gut?
You know what? For some reason, I'm always Asian. I don't know why. Sumo wrestler. It's always an Asian Aww. Sumo fellow every time I step on the Wii, and I say, you know what, Wii? You've nailed the inner me. You actually got it right. I mean, that's the power of technology these days.
First time I was on a Wii, that sounds weird. I was 12 hours into my shift working at a bar and eating a giant bag of Doritos, trying to jump on it so it would make me fatter and fatter to deny. Because I knew if I stood still, it would say, like, oh, you're obese. But I was like, oh, make a joke about it. And because right. of that, I started doing yoga.
That's hilarious. Did you try to do yoga on the Wii?
No, I always said I'm never going to get on this thing again, and I haven't since then.
I love the Wii humiliated you.
Yeah, the Wii definitely. Technology makes me feel so insecure.
The Wii is mortifying. And the thing about the Wii is, too, I was playing it, and then they have that one stupid screen that pops up, the take a break screen with a window.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you think I'm doing? I am not exhausted right now. Why do you imagine it? But I mean, I feel like that's like when you were playing a Nintendo as a child or like a Sega Genesis, never was there a moment where they were like, oh, well, we better make sure the kid's all right. We better make sure he's getting outdoors. It's like, go fuck yourself, Wii. Why are you're not my mom. I'm going to play this game whenever I want to.
Fair enough.
And I do think that's like our children nowadays have gotten so obese and they're so disgustingly fat that I think it's a sad statement that technology has been, like, built to make them, like, realize, get outside. Like, that's how far our society has fallen, where we depend on the Nintendo Corporation to be like, hey, make sure, kids, get on outside, when the mother should just take the remote away from the kid and just be like, hey, you know,
yeah,
continue
but
on playing because it keeps
really,
you quiet.
You're negating the fact that there usually aren't mothers in those situations.
That's true.
So it's not... Well, let's...
You just took that down a...
Listen,
sad,
it's real
no,
talk.
I wish I didn't have a mother growing up. Are you serious?
Oh, okay.
Every kid who's like, oh, I didn't have a father. It's like, oh, you didn't have somebody who came home every night after 18 hours of work and beat you?
Yeah, I'm glad.
What a terrible situation.
Glad I never had a father. I'm completely serious.
Yeah.
I'm completely serious, yes.
Did you not have a father?
No, I never met my father.
Never at all?
No, never.
Fascinating.
Why would I lie about that? It's not fascinating. It's very, very normal.
Well, it's not normal. I have a father who loves me greatly.
So
and I'll
do
tell
I.
you, I mean, just going to bed in the comfort of a home of a two-parent household, that was nice. I mean, Brandon wouldn't know. His father kind of left him at a young age. But
yeah, yeah. It's great. And that's why I wear a suit and seek attention and approval. Like, yeah, I get it.
I'll tell you, we had the exact same. I feel like if my father wasn't there, I would be sitting in this exact seat because my dad was a truck driver.
Except you had help with rent. That's the difference.
Oh, well. Mildly. He was a first-generation German fella.
What? What's wrong with the Germans?
Nothing's wrong with the Germans.
Just your father.
My father's a first-generation.
Bad German.
He was a good... Well, a bad German in the fact that he moved to the United States and completely rejected his homeland.
Really?
Yes. I mean, my opa was a Nazi. You know.
Really?
He must have been.
This is fascinating.
It is. It's good stuff.
And probably inappropriate.
I don't know if it's inappropriate. It's just historically factual. If you want to make it in the military in the 1940s, you better choose a fucking side,
wow,
my friend.
Although I like that you called him your opa.
Yeah.
That's cute.
And the thing is, when he died a couple of years, 15 years ago now or so. So I was about 15 years old. And we got to their place in Germany. Uh-huh. And the entire weekend, we just spent shredding documents.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. So I have no idea, and my father doesn't talk about it because, you know, obviously my father moved here. He married my mother in North Dakota. My father got the worst. I don't know if anybody is here. It's a hostel that we're in, by the way. I don't know if anyone's here, like, visiting, but at least they chose New York. My father went and studied abroad in North Dakota.
From Germany,
from wealthy Germany to North Dakota. That is the worst transition of all time.
Did he pick it?
I don't know.
Was
how
it a lottery?
Works.
Was it a draft system? And like, you're on the Clippers.
I mean, that's the thing. If it's the draft system, that was his Vietnam. Was North Dakota?
No, North Dakota's not.
You're just throwing Vietnam like crazy actually, things at us all.
Yeah, well, but actually Nazis now Vietnam's kind of nice.
Vietnam.
Like,
exactly. And how's North Dakota do it?
Probably good.
You know, a lot of booby traps out there. A lot of freezing cold. So my hey, what's up? My father moved here, and he met my mother, and I think they fell in love because they're still together.
Oh!
And they've been married now for about 30 years. But yeah, so I think that my opa, I don't know exactly what was going on over on that side of the family, because I realized recently my father was kind of a turncoat in a way.
Yeah, but I think he was made the right decision to be a turncoat.
Yes.
Out of anything to turn against, that's probably the best thing ever.
I agree.
And I also think that shredding documents when a loved one passes is probably the best way to deal with that situation.
You know, if I just wish I knew a lick of German and I could have read what was going on in those. Because my opa was also a very wealthy fella, and he started the first labor union in Germany, Fiat, F-I-A-T.
Really?
He was a very big co-founder of it. He was extremely successful. My father denounces everything, becomes a truck driver, which is, you know, so I'm picking it back up.
With stand-up.
With stand-up
comedy.
It'd be
great if he somehow started driving Fiats.
Yeah. I would love to drive a Fiat. They just don't exist around here.
Yeah,
I could
do.
Ask you,
so
like,
you
oh, why did you get into comedy? But it totally makes sense. You don't need
I mean,
to. Yeah,
that's
I get it.
Small-town kid from Wisconsin. Father was...
Wait, I thought it was North Dakota.
No, they moved to Wisconsin. They moved to the big state of Wisconsin.
To the big cheese.
To the big cheese.
And the big apple.
I grew up in Stevens Point, a town of about 30,000. And it was interesting. There was two black people, but they were twins. So I guess sort of one black person. And
it was the Sklar brothers in blackface. Sorry, that was stupid. No one knows who I'm talking about.
No, but
where is that?
You know, Stevens Point, if you were to make a hand, as I'm making such...
This is not Michigan, sir.
No, this
it
is
Wisconsin. Slightly hand-like
and
Wisconsin.
So Stevens Point was right in the middle. It was a test market for like all these products. So like we got Spider-Man cereal. I don't even.
Ooh,
did you hear about
no.
Spider-Man cereal? See, a lot of people never got it. It was an amazing cereal full of Crispix and marshmallows.
Ooh.
And it was, you know, those really sugary, intense,
yeah,
powerful marshmallows. And I loved it. I went batshit insane for it. And sure enough, 6 months later, it's gone because evidently Wisconsin wasn't fat enough. The state that eats anything deep fried and everything better be surrounded with cheese, otherwise it's not worthy of look, refused to enjoy the Spider-Man cereal, so that was off the market. So pretty much, if you're in this country, in the United States of beautiful America, and you're eating something that's terrible for you, you want to die, and after you eat it, you're shitting and you're vomiting on the street to feed the birds, thank Stevens
Full
Point,
circle.
Wisconsin, because we are the reason that all the shit that's circulated in this country's grocery stores exists.
So you're the reason why the Wii says you need to go outside.
The Wii is just such an asshole. But yes... It is. It is the reason.
You do host a podcast?
I host three podcasts. Last podcast on the left, which is all horror and spooky and ooky stuff, which I love. I do it with Henry Zabrowski, who's an extremely talented comedian, and he's in the sketch group Murder Fist, and he's a very successful fellow. And then I do a new one. It's going to be called Give Me a Little Kissel. It's formerly known as Abe Lincoln's Top Hat.
Yeah, that's
but
what I know. But
we're Nixon Abe Lincoln's Top Hat.
Okay.
Because what I've decided, and Abe Lincoln's Top Hat was all politics, but you know, really, it's mostly about my cock. And so we're just
yeah,
like,
I know.
You've listened.
Yeah.
But every time I tell them, like, hey, listen to Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, people are like, oh, we don't like politics. So I'm just sick of the we don't like politics thing. So it's going to be called Give Me a Little Kissel. It's pretty much going to be the exact same show, but I'm going to talk about sports and I'm going to talk about everything.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Roundtable of the Gentlemen, which is the filthiest and most fantastic show anyone could ever listen to.
Why do you like doing this stuff? I'm assuming you like doing this stuff.
I love it. You know, the thing about it is, growing up, I was the youngest of two brothers. Both of my little brothers are gay, and they were very My middle brother especially, extremely loud. He used to bust into my room and be like, hey, Ben, let's argue.
Okay.
And I would be like 8 years old. And arguing was his, literally just a pastime. So at that point, I was an extreme victim. But at some point you realize, well, I guess you better argue back, or he's just going to continually, you know, point at your little bizarre pigtail
dick. Of course.
You know, and be like, why is it curly? And I'd be like, I don't hit puberty until another 5 years. Holy shit.
You were really, you know, self-aware at eight.
Oh, my God, dude. If I didn't hit puberty until 13 years old, but for some reason I was 6'4". So
really?
Like, can you imagine being 6'4" without a lick of pubic hair on your body?
Yes.
It is disgusting.
It's called most people in this city. That are 6'4".
You don't think people who are over 6'4" in the city have pubic hair?
Well, they had at one point.
It's all waxed.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. I was such a late bloomer. I'm not touching a goddamn inch of it. I am full bushel. I have the same bushel of pubic hair that I had when I was 13, and I'm sticking with it.
That sounded weirder than it was meant to be.
Oh, it was meant to be.
Because you referenced 13
weird.
Years old when you started to talk about that stuff.
I loved me then. So that was the whole thing. So discussing and talking was always very important for me. And also growing up in Wisconsin in a very religious home, because both of my parents are very Christian, you get introduced. One nice thing about growing up in a really Christian home is that you're immediately introduced to life and death issues. When you're 5 years old, you're like, so if you do that, you know you burn in hell forever,
well,
right?
Well, you do. That's true. That's fact.
I agree with it.
Yeah, word
is
bond.
So you're immediately contemplating these extremely important life issues, and you're going through this mental dialogue in your head, and whenever you try to express it, your father hits you in the face.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is why when you get older and you're like, I'm 18, motherfuckers, I'm out. You just start speaking, and you can't stop speaking.
Yeah.
And then you realize you're an idiot, and you're like, well, I better figure shit out. And then eventually you figure out enough to get enough people behind you to where they encourage you and they listen to your program.
Yeah.
And they say, Ben Kissel, you are the genius that you always knew that you should have been when you were younger.
That was, like, so good, and then you added those, like, four more extra
words.
Yeah,
the words there at the end. I'm still learning.
You tagged up your own catchphrase.
Oh, man.
Ben, where can people find you? Here's why I like having people like Ben on the show. We can do this for like 3 hours. We're not going to, but we could easily do. No, not now. Later. You're so good. You know how to talk, and that's so rare when I do these shows. I'm usually.
You know how to talk, Brandon. And you can find.
No, I'm medium.
Are you a steak?
Yeah.
I don't think that you can measure. I'm sort of a rare.
I don't think I've been this calm doing the show in a really long time.
Well, I'm happy that I made you calm because this is fun. This is what life is all about. Life is about discussing random shit that no one should care about, but it's the only thing that people can because this is our existence, and it's really fun. I love it all. But I think that... So thank you so much for having me, Brandon.
Where can people find you?
Cave Comedy Radio, 656 Metropolitan Avenue, apartment 1B.
Good.
Is where I live. So please knock on the door. I would love if you just came in. And I drink alone. I listen to a lot of Waylon Jennings until 4 in the morning. And I literally am a raging alcoholic. So come and join me, and we'll cry together.
I think I'm going to be in your apartment next month. Before we kick you off the stage, we have to end this interview whenever I... Remember the book? We ask a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD.
Holy Lord.
This is an awful book, and feel free to lie. I need you to pick a number between 21 and 237.
I'm going
to
go 21 on account. My birthday is July 21st, so that's kind of fun.
Oh,
actually, let's go 28.
Too late. He ripped it.
Okay.
21. If you were dating several people and one sent you a love note and flowers, would you hide them or display them openly? If you displayed the flowers and one of the others asked about them, what would you say?
I mean, the thing is, when dating multiple people, I dated, before I found the love of my life, I really enjoy her. I dated a whole series of folks, and I'll tell you, they and there she is. And
no, I'm clapping for the series of folks.
The series of folks. And I'll tell you, they were nice people. I told them all that I was having sex with a bevy of larger ladies, some smaller than others. And
you know what they say about New York?
Once you go fat, you have to have sex with a whole bunch of other people.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
That's true.
In the land of a thousand lakes.
I mean, God knows. We could all be cheddar heads over here.
Where the Pacific meets the Atlantic.
I love it. So the thing is, I don't think it's your responsibility to hide flowers or letters or use condoms, for that matter, if they know that you're having multiple... interactions. The used condom thing.
Do you have any children?
Not currently.
Good.
Not currently.
Sorry,
but if I did have a child, to my child that is not born yet, I'm going to love you and I'm going to cuddle you.
Aww.
And I want him to get into politics.
Good.
Just like those really puppies. Do. You're going to cuddle it.
You're going to cuddle the baby.
You're going to be a great dog nanny.
If my child can make it through the cuddling of his fucking life for the first 2 years of his existence, then he is strong enough
really
to take
Casey
on the world.
Anthony.
Yes. I plan to smother it.
Aww.
Yes. But smother it with love.
You
and
know
smother
what?
It with my loose skin because I used to be morbidly obese.
Stay on that Casey Anthony path. She looks hot in a bikini.
Casey Anthony is one of the few mothers where I'm like, thank God you killed your baby so we can go clubbing.
Yeah.
You are banging hot, lady. Yeah.
Oh, well, when in New York, you know what they say about New York, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Stays in
New York City.
Yeah, what happens in...
The biggest little city in the world.
Stays in Casey Anthony's vagina for a couple of minutes.
Bad Kissel, everybody!
All right. Yay! Fun times.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I read a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show.
Coming to the stage, former D.C. resident, current New York City, Massachusetts, New York resident. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Ryan Connor, everybody. Yay! Yeah. Oh, nice.
Those of you listening at home, maybe you're on a treadmill. Maybe you're in your car. I'm going to spend my whole 8 minutes speculating as to where people could be listening. Maybe you're just on a bicycle and you have headphones in. That's dangerous. You could get hit by a car. Do you have a helmet on? You should if you're going to listen to a podcast. I'm going to turn around and do some jokes.
All right. So here's the story. All right. I was coming home late with my roommate, and he wanted to get a drink for the walk home after the train. We had a 10-minute walk. So we went into CVS. I wasn't thirsty, so I was looking at the ice cream. A minute later, I look over to see if he's ready. And I saw a guy who looked exactly like him, but it wasn't him. And he was picking up a gallon of whole milk. So I'm thinking, really? My roommate thinks he's going to sip on a gallon of milk while he walks home with me? Not on my watch. So I yell across the store at this stranger, "You getting milk at CVS? What a fucking weirdo." And then he does not respond because he's not my roommate. And then a few seconds later, I feel him scurry past me. So I'm thinking, all right, I guess we're leaving. So I take my ice cream and start following this stranger around CVS, taunting him about the milk he is buying for his family. And the whole time, his head is just locked forward. Like, he will not turn at all because I think he thinks he's facing the end of his life. Like, in his mind, as soon as we make eye contact, I'm just going to slit his throat. And to be fair, If a stranger's falling around in the middle of an empty store at 1 a.m. talking shit to you about milk, why would you not think he's a lunatic murderer? Like, especially when I'm saying shit like, "I hope you don't have kids." Because, like, to my roommate, that means if you end up having kids, they're going to be weird. But to a father, that means your kids are going to grow up without a dad. So I follow him around for a couple of minutes doing, like, really weird things. Like, I'm following him through the chip aisle. I'm trying to force, like, Cheetos through his arm. And he's just, like, resisting it, but he's not saying anything. So I just got even weirder. I was like, "Oh, sorry to insult your palate with Cheetos. Are you a Sun Chips man?" Which, like, what does that mean to a guy who doesn't know you? And then we find ourselves in line waiting to pay. And I notice his hair is slightly shorter than usual. So I go, "Someone got a haircut." And when I said that, his head started to turn slightly. Because I think at that point he thought, hey, maybe I could take this guy. And then I could see his skin color, and I could see that he was Hispanic, and my roommate is not Hispanic. So for a split second, I was like, he's a shapeshifter, because that seemed more likely than me talking shit to a guy about milk. But then I realized this really was a stranger. What we did was we locked eyes, and then I just yelled, "Run!" And I sprinted to the pharmacy as if there was protection back there. And the weird thing to me isn't that I ran, it's that I yelled "run." Like, communication between the brain and feet is supposed to be nonverbal. So I didn't want to take any chances, though. I didn't want to be the first guy to get bludgeoned to death by milk. Even if it is whole milk, which I realize is a little more dense than skim, but you never know.
moving right along. It's so funny to do jokes without laughs in them, except like the only people who are laughing are behind me, which is like really freaking me out. Like I almost smoked weed before I came here, but I was like, no, I don't want it. Like, I don't want it to be weird, but this is much weirder than like if I had smoked like a pound of weed, it would have felt more normal than this. Fuck, what was I? Oh yeah, okay. So there's a all right, there's a female porn star with my name, and like, okay, her most famous movie is called The Ass is Half Full, which is clever, and not only is it clever, it's optimistic. So whenever you type my name into Google, the first result is always something like, you'll be amazed as Ryan Connor takes two guys at once. My mom saw that, and at the time, she didn't even know I did comedy, and she's not going to click on it to find out if it's me or not, because no mother wants to stumble upon her son taking two guys at once. I guess every mother's worst nightmare times two. So she just assumes it's true. She calls me up at night, panicked, almost crying. She was like, Ryan, I found out what you're into. I was like, all right, Mom, well, how do you feel about it? She was, what do you mean, how do I feel? Like, of course I don't approve. I was like, what do you mean you don't approve? I finally found something I'm good at. It's like, this is something I really enjoy doing. I was like, what don't you approve of? And then she just tries to be a supportive mother. She goes, I don't know. Maybe I just think two at once is a little overindulgent. Which, in retrospect, is a really weird thing for a mother to say about her son taking two guys at once. But I thought she'd been checking my website, and so I was doing multiple shows each night. So I just responded, Mom, I have to take as many as I can, all right? That's the only way you get better in this business. So then she calls up my brother, Brent, who had been to some shows, so the confusion only deepened. She was like, Brent, I just got off the phone with Ryan, and I found out what he's been doing at night. And he's like, yeah, I know. I've seen him in action a few times. She's like, what do you mean in action? What do you mean you've seen him in action? He's like, well, he invites me. I like to watch, so I support him. He's my little brother. What am I going to do? She's like, I just can't believe I did not see this coming. I did not raise my boys like this. He's like, how did you not see this coming? He's been into this ever since he was a little kid. And then... And then she's like, what are you talking about? I was like, well, you used to buy him the videos. And she's like, oh, my God, I just assumed the Karate Kid was about karate. I had no idea. And he's like, what are you talking about? And she goes, maybe it's best that you tell me what you're talking about. And he goes, well, he's a stand-up comic. You know that, right? And she goes, oh, I guess that's a little better. And that is how you lower your mother's expectations for your career right there. All right, should I end there or you may
sure,
do another
sure.
one?
Ryan
let's do,
Connor,
let's do some interview. Out. Interviews are fun.
I like you, Ryan Connor. You're from the D.C. area, yeah?
Yes, sir.
You don't probably want that. It's just easier to hold it.
Hold it?
Yeah, it's much easier. You know how to use a microphone.
Oh,
you do it for a career.
Yes, sir. Okay.
How was D.C. as a starting place for comedy?
I thought it was fantastic when I started, yeah. There were so
really?
Many shows. Yeah, I could get up 7-8 times a week
really?
Easily. Yeah.
How many times do you go up a week now?
About that.
Okay.
Yeah. It depends on, like, I'm not the type of person who likes to do, like, four sets a night and stuff like a lot of guys do. And I like to have, like, maybe three straight really active weeks.
Okay.
And then take a week off to kind of marinate.
Why did you want to start doing this besides the Karate Kid?
Mainly the Karate Kid. There's a little Footloose in me.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
What do you think of the Reed Dog Juice? Whatever. Sorry. Go ahead.
I don't even know what that was. What was that?
I was going to say, what do you think of the rejuvenation of the series?
The Karate Kid series?
No, they just remade.
Are they really going to do the whole... Do you think they'll redo all of them?
Only if Hilary Swank could reprise her
role as
Karate Kid in 3.
I don't think there's anyone who can take her place anymore.
Not in that canon.
Oh,
that's
hell
like
no.
replacing Luke Skywalker. Why would you ever do that?
Wasn't like Little Bow Wow in one of... Am I making
He's
that
He's in
up?
The most recent one.
Little Bow Wow's not in the most recent one. It's Will Smith's
kid.
Oh, no,
I'm
kid.
Sorry, yeah.
You guys, that came off as racist,
yes,
I guess.
Yeah. So, and you are from the Chocolate City, New York City.
I am. And most of my family's black, so
really?
It would be really weird for me to, yeah.
Are they a fan of the classic Motown sound from the Queens area?
What? I don't even know. What came from Queens?
Well, mostly Motown Philly came from Queens. I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, a lot of Chicago blues came from the Upper West Side. If you were in the Delta Blues, you had to go all the way to the Lower East Side.
Oh, is that, you know, I'm learning, and that's the thing I like most
that's
about you,
thing.
Me,
that's
them, everybody.
That's why I like going to New York City to visiting all those classic, I love coming here and getting, like, I don't know, some classic St. Louis chili that you can only really find on the Upper East Side. What are some other good culinary delights? Well, I love New York deep dish pizza. It kicks Chicago's thin slices ass. Mm-hmm. I love getting a jumbo slice in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's some of my favorite food. You got anything?
You know, I think you've kind of ran the course for the foods.
Well, then let's go back to music.
Yeah, let's go back to music.
I love hearing that classic rapper Tupac.
Oh,
classic Queens rapper Tupac Shakur.
And
he had that beef with classic Staten Island rapper Biggie Smalls.
Mozart.
Jack White is a big New Yorker. I love the fact that White Stripes rejuvenated that Detroit garage rock sound in Queens.
I do. You know, Brandon, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what this interview is about right now.
Well, mostly it's about catching up all these great people here about the sights and scenes of New York City.
Well, you know, there's always, you can come to You, Me, Them, and Everybody. That's my favorite New York comedy food show. I don't know.
We are a staple here now.
You are.
Do you know that? I feel rude.
I haven't
a food and a staple. It's like potatoes. And Rice and You, Me, Them, Everybody.
Potatoes.
Yeah, it's in the pyramid now.
We're in a pyramid.
We're just under potatoes and above...
above rice.
Above chickens.
What?
Right in the middle.
What's going on?
I have no idea what's going on. Let's pick a topic, and we'll do the topic.
Why did you move here?
For stand-up. Well... obviously.
Yeah, we got that.
Obviously. Well, no. I was in D.C. For 2 years, and then I just started getting a lot of shows in New York.
Yeah.
So
how long have you been here now?
5.5 years.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's all right.
Where do you live?
Gramercy area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you recommend that for up-and-coming comics to live? Is it a good neighborhood?
Well,
is it a good incubator for the stand-up scene?
It's a little pricey.
Yeah.
I would say go to Brooklyn.
Get your day job.
I just started a day job.
Really?
Congratulations,
buddy.
A few months ago.
You are the 1%.
I work at a real estate law firm.
Are you serious?
But I can go. Yeah, it's cool. I didn't have a job for like five years.
I work in a real estate law firm. It's cool.
No. You know what is cool about it? See, I didn't have a job for 5 years, and then when I had to get a job, then I didn't want to get a job because no one wants a job if you don't have to.
That's
the
problem with the 99%.
Yeah,
you know.
and the thing is, well, the shitty part is you have to go there. But the good part is like I have shows in Chicago this week, and they're like,
oh, really?
Oh yeah, go to Chicago, and they still pay me.
Where are you going up in Chicago?
It's actually at Aurora. Aurora College.
Yeah,
it's not really. Well, I'm flying into to O'Hare.
I'm playing the Schaumburg Improv this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Which I've heard is in a mall.
It is in a mall. But actually, that's where Norm MacDonald ends up going every time.
Well, yeah, it's because he's in the improv loop.
Yeah, you kind of have to. That sucks. Oh, well. You're good. Keep doing this.
Thanks, Brandon. I was ready to quit tonight.
I gotta go get validation from a guy.
I need a vote of confidence.
At 103rd.
That's why I couldn't face you during my set. I was like, I gotta face the other way just in case he doesn't approve.
This kind of weird gray suit's gonna judge me.
Let's just talk about how fucking
weird
that is.
Let's just end this interview with a question from the Book of Questions,
Jesus
Love and Sex.
Christ.
I need you to pick a number between 65 and 233.
213 is my lucky number.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you're
I used to play basketball. That was always my number.
You're a very small man with a very large number on your jersey. That's been taking you at 214. After ending a relationship and sticking with that decision for a while, have you ever changed your mind and gone back to the person? If so, why did you do it, and how was it different the second time around?
Do we want a serious answer? Yeah, okay. Well, okay. Yes. I was married once, right?
Really?
Yeah. See, this should have been the first question instead of being like, oh, East Village catfish. This is what we should have done. I'm just fucking with you, man.
Wait, it's okay for me to open with interviews with why did you get divorced?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just think...
Because I'm going to do that with every interview from now on.
I just think there's a little more to...
How did that fail?
Well, no, here's what... Okay, she was a cunt. That was the main... That was like our big thing. Like,
so
I'm
you
cool.
have bad taste.
Yeah, well, she was all right at first. It was like something you'd read about that couldn't be real. Because okay, she was cool. We got married. Literally, like 2 weeks later, she took a job with the National Republican Congressional Committee making their attack ads. Which, like, it doesn't matter who, like, what party you're with. If you're making attack ads for a living, you're a cunt. That's all. And like her personality.
How long did you know her?
2 years before we got married.
You should have knew her another two, buddy.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah.
How old were you?
25.
What's wrong with
but,
you?
But see,
she's not a bad person. You just didn't talk.
Well, no, here's the thing. You're asking me questions that I already answered years ago to myself.
These are questions that you could get answered on a Match.com profile. These aren't like hidden things. On Facebook, political leanings. It's right there.
Dude, no, I'm telling you. She was normal to me. She was fake. Okay, all right, here's... Let's give you an example. All right, now
you just did.
No, fact. This is a real thing. Some of my friends actually had there was like a pool, like a March Madness pool for when we get divorced. That those were like there was my comic friends who knew how terrible she was, but they didn't want to tell me because they saw a side over that she didn't show me.
Okay, if they were real comics, they would have told you to your face on stage and laughed at you.
Well,
am I right or am I wrong?
I don't.
Ben, am I right or am I wrong? Thank you. He said,
I'm right. I don't know. I don't know about that.
Because all the best comics don't say really awful things to people that they love on stage in front of people.
Yeah, but not
that's
something like that.
That's all this is.
Not something like that. That would have been weird.
You told me it's okay to open with, why did you get divorced?
But now it's out in the open that she's a cunt.
No, she's not. She's
how many
just
times
different...
can you say cunt on this show?
Well, it doesn't matter. It means nothing at this point.
And by the way, is that she was that you are divorced? Is that in your bio or
like an official bio or like an OK Cupid bio? Like,
either one. It should be on both.
Well, I talk about it on stage now. I got like 10 minutes on how awful she was.
So if anything, thank her.
Thank her for the material.
Yeah.
I guess I should, but I don't know if that outweighs the debt that she put me in.
And you realize that the more you say she is that thing, the worse you sound as a human being, right?
Well, no, not at all. Because I think people would realize that I'm an okay person, and she's not. Dude, she made fucking attack ads for the Republican Congressional Committee.
I know, but
you know she's terrible.
You could have said that, and we would have all thought the thing you called her.
Yeah, but it's better to just be upfront.
No, that's not being upfront.
Oh, wait, the one thing you're not pointing out is that she was making money.
Well, yeah, not a ton.
She had a job.
Not a ton, but no. But
what were you doing at the time?
Full-time stand-up.
Oh, okay.
So you
didn't have a job?
No. You're doing... Okay.
No, I was a full-time stand-up for 6 years, yeah.
Who made
and
more
then
money?
I just had to get it. She made more, but I was living fine.
Yeah.
She wasn't, like, supporting you.
No, not at all.
Did you have a conversation of why did she take the job?
But Brandon, let's talk about your logic for a second here. You said if the comics were they were like real comics or real friends, they would have just ripped her on stage.
No,
and like, oh, you fucking cunt.
No.
But now you're saying
apart.
It shouldn't be said. It should just be insinuated.
Yeah, no. They should rip you apart.
Well, no. Okay.
They're not friends with her. You don't rip apart people that you're actually like not friends with. You barely know.
Well, I had, let's see. The people who okay, Rory Scovel is the only guy who was like, he was like,
You mean the only one from DC that people know of now?
Well, that's kind of a weird gut punch.
I don't know
to some people, but I don't know. But
you mean the most successful DC stand-up in the past 5 years told it on stage the exact
no,
same
not
thing.
On stage. No. It was my I tried to call off the wedding 5 times.
Then why? You know you could just say no.
Well, you can, but here's the thing. She was a conniving asshole.
No, she's not. You're just weak.
Oh
you
my god.
You have legs. This is America. That's what's beautiful about it.
You're doing all these low blows, and it just makes me want to bring up the father thing since you're doing low blows, but I can't.
Oh, he brings that up himself.
Here's the thing. He was strong enough to walk away. He did it, so can you. Ryan Connor, everybody.
I did walk away for the record 5 years ago. All right. Thanks, man.
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though, so why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead. Give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
I want to thank all of our guests. We have one more special treat for you guys. Give her 30 seconds, she'll win you over. I really hope you do win them over, or else I'm going to look like a real fool right now. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Larkin Grimm.
Hello. Hello, children of many different countries. This song is dedicated to Occupy Wall Street.
Which side?
I'm not telling. Sorrows come and sorrows go. That's all I know. That's all I know. Close your eyes and follow me into the world only I can see. If I get lost, don't wait for me. I'll be all right. Well, someday everyone who we attack will fight us back. But till then, let's just pretend that we are like them. We're so bohemian. This is a Halloween song. It's dedicated to the 14 Peruvian shamans who have been murdered by the Christians in Peru. What the Christians don't know is that the shamans are just as powerful after they die. So I'm hoping to say hello to them in the spirit world.
Shed my skin, I never know what's coming. Give it time to settle in while the new skin's growing. Some people say I've lost my mind, trying to fight the rules of time. When I fall ill, they say, let her die, given that evil eye. Flying by with her dull wings dragging, stare into her round black eyes, hear her breath that's sagging. Don't be afraid of that old crow, swallowing old black hole. I'm not afraid of my own. Like liquid gold. you'll never be my master. Grandmother Crow, she pulls me in, fills my heart with laughter. Don't be afraid of that old soul, her blood is liquid gold. Forget it. I'm trying hard now to forget it. But there are some things you have to remember. I want to remember. So many colors, so many colors, I have to remember. Paradise has so many colors, so many colors, I have to remember. Of a body and the crooked limbs of someone lying there next to you. I came, I saw, I conquered everything about you. And you know, I just want to remember, I have to remember. To remember paradise has so many colors, so many colors, I just can't forget it. Oh, I am wallowing in sorrow. Cause I lost someone and I can't forget it. I'm trying hard now to forget it. But there are some things you have to remember. I have to remember. Has so many colors, so many colors, I have to remember. Paradise has so many colors, so many colors, I just can't forget it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Larkin, that was amazing. Thank you. I'm intimidated, and I'm glad you did this. I don't even know what that's called. What is that?
It's a mountain dulcimer.
All right. Mandan dulcimer? Mountain dulcimer.
It's from Tennessee.
It's from Tennessee. Do you know where you live?
I live in Harlem.
You live in Harlem, where all the best dulcimers are, along with harp. What? You live in Harlem? Okay, sure. Amazing.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure.
Where can people find you?
They can find me at www.larkingrim.net. I have a new record coming out in January called Soul Retrieval.
Spell the last name for people. And the first, spell the whole, LarkinGrimm. See, that's not so easy. .net, is it? You should Google it, kids. Google Larkin. You know what? If you're listening to this, go to the show description. I'll have all the info there, and you should support her because she's a new mother, and that's amazing that you're doing this, and it's 2 months in, and you support the 1%, and that's really brave of you. Not a lot of people are supporting the 1%, and it's very important to take that stand. Go see her. This is amazing. It's something like, I'm sure it sounds cool on the podcast and everything, but you got to see it live. It's so much better. I'm not saying your recordings aren't good, but you know, it never ends well, does it? Never does. Just talking my way into bad. Thank you to Hostel International. This is our fourth and final night for the CMJ trip. It's been something fun. I never said I was a good host, but I do have very, very good taste. And I got to showcase that taste over four nights. And I want to thank Esmeralda. She was a brilliant co-host. I want to thank Nathan for doing sound tonight. I want to thank our guests from tonight and our guests from the last few nights. I want to thank Paul, who works there. I want to thank Ari, who works there. I want to thank Danny, who helped set this up. Thanks for coming, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.